Welkom bij de podcast van Hour of Power Nederland. Je gaat nu luisteren naar de boodschap van Bobby Schuller. De boodschap is in het Engels. Liever met Nederlandse ondertiteling erbij? Bekijk dan de uitzending op hourofpower.nl of op ons YouTube-kanaal.
Today we're going to continue on talking about the value of words. How words build others up and tear others down. How words can build you up and tear you down. And so I want to lead off from where I left off last week in talking about words, and that is the splashiness of words. That you cannot use words on others without getting a little bit on yourself. If you choose to go out of your way to encourage five people today, you're going to feel encouraged. Most of those people are going to say something nice back to you. You're going to feel good as you're saying it. The positivity in the air is just going to go up. There's something really splashy about words. The main thing I'm getting across to you is the power of words in a team, the power of words in an organization, and the ability that words have to create culture in a group, in your family. That just remember, whatever words you're saying out loud in a group of people is affecting the culture. It's either reinforcing the culture in a way, or it is shifting the culture in a way. And that's why words are very, very important in whatever group that you're in. It's going to dictate your actions. It's going to dictate morale. It's going to cause people to leave that you don't want to be there, or people you do want to be there. It's going to cause people to come that you don't want to be there, or that you do want to be there. You see? The words are going to be constantly changing. So pay attention to what you're saying in your team. Whether you're a leader, follower, doesn't matter. You're going to have an impact. That brings me to this reflection I want to show you that is one of the main big arcs in the Bible. There are little arcs, but there's a big, big arc. And it begins with the Tower of Babel. You know the story of the Tower of Babel? It goes something like this, that after the fall in the garden, mankind becomes more and more evil, murderous, the abuse of children, the raising up of altars, war. And finally, as it goes in Genesis 11. After the flood, you know, God like basically does a re-roll with humanity. He's like, we need to start this whole thing over with a really good group of people, with Noah's family. And of course, it's just as bad as it was before, just as murderous. And so this one language nation begins to build a tower that they want to reach heaven. And it's working well. It's going fast, it's amazing looking, and it's reaching heaven. And the Talmud actually says, it didn't say this in the Bible, but that at the top of the tower, they wanted to place a sword so that it was like they were literally stabbing God, or that they were at war with God. So there was the story, in a way of understanding, that there was a unified opposition towards God, and that this tower was to get as close to God as they could to effectively just be like, you know, to stab him, right? And so God, in seeing this happen, the first weird thing that you think is like, well, why does God feel threatened by that? You know, heaven isn't in the sky and God can't be stabbed. So is God threatened? Probably not. As a Christian, I view this story through the lens of God's love, that God loves these people too much to allow them to constantly be in a state of hatred, rebellion, whatever you want to call it. And so the curse or the punishment or whatever you want to call it, you remember what it is? He gives them all different languages so that they can no longer talk to one another. And now that they can no longer talk to one another the right way, they can no longer be unified. And this is an ancient way of understanding why the world is in conflict all the time. It's because these different nation states, it's not that they actually hate each other. It's not that they actually have borders or weapons or whatever. And by the way, it is those things. But the ancient way of understanding is they just don't speak the same language. They just don't speak the same language. And that inability to talk to one another is the very thing that even to this day, according to this ancient understanding, that's the main thing that keeps war and fighting and disunity, that's what keeps it in place. And you can see why a Bronze Age ancient person would see the world in this way. First of all, there's an incredible power in unity, isn't there? I mean, we all know that. When you're united, it's an incredible thing. One of my favorite times in this country, it sounds not favorite times, but an amazing time. I think it's the only time I've seen this, was the worst time in my life in American history was 9/11. But do you remember there were months after 9/11 where there was no Democrat or Republican or any of that? It was just everybody was like, we're going to love each other, support each other. There was just something really good in the air. And looking back at that moment, or any kind of team, maybe you had a moment or in your country or in your culture or whatever, a moment where there was like just an incredible amount of unity where everybody just put everything, all their differences aside, and we're just totally unified. It's just an amazing, it's not always good, but it's an amazing power. An amazing power. So Esperanto was a language created by a genius idea, I think, in many ways. It was as smart as it was stupid, actually. Maybe it's a better way of saying it. An ophthalmologist, I think a Polish ophthalmologist, felt that the world, you know, everybody's always putting so much effort into studying other languages when they travel, especially in a place like Europe. His whole idea was, what if there was a second language we all just agreed that we were going to learn, and that would be the language that we would communicate to each other? And his whole idea was, if I can do this, I will achieve world peace. And you kind of have to, you kind of have to love a heart like that, you know? And an observation that, even though, it didn't work out for him, it's just kind of an interesting, Dr. Zamenhof's, little did he know that that achievement would happen only about 100 years later, because of a town that's about 30 miles from here called Hollywood. Now almost everybody learns English as their second language, and it's useful. You know, English is unique in that I think it's the first and only language to have more people speak it that are not native speakers than those that are native. So there are 1.5 billion English speakers, and only 300 million or 300, 400 million of them speak English natively. Isn't that interesting? And so that's because of, I think, you know, Hollywood. Not only is everybody learning English, they're learning it with a California accent, which is amazing as a Californian. I remember being in Israel, and I was talking to this bus driver who spoke Hebrew natively, you know, and he said, I asked him, you know how I learned to speak English? I said, how? He's like, I learned it from watching MASH. He would just watch MASH and he learned English from TV. I'm sure he's pretty smart. Anyway, and you can also see, so you understand this Esperanto thing. You can see too, like if you ever travel, just learning a little bit of that nation's language goes so far. Even if you're an English speaker and most of the people there speak English, if you learn some of their language, just make a little effort, just watch how far it goes. Very often, Americans would go to Paris and never learn any French, never even think about what is the culture in Paris. So if you go into a bakery in Paris, the owner of the shop, who's very proud of their shop, will in a very polite way say to anyone who comes into their shop, bonjour, good morning. And every Frenchman or Frenchwoman who walks in will say, bonjour, monsieur, bonjour. You know, everybody, Germans will do that, Dutch will do that, right? Everybody does that, except Americans. If you go into Target today, someone's going to go, morning, and what are you going to do? You're going to grab your car. You're not going to say anything. And so when we go into our patisserie in Paris, they say, bonjour, and you're like, it's like, it's rude. You know, it's like super rude. And so this is what I'm getting at. Is that language is such a bridge builder. And what we lose sometimes in our value of communication is that even within English, there's a way of communicating a language, our language. That when we talk to each other, just because we're speaking English, that does not... There is a right way to speak to someone and a wrong way to speak to someone. if you want to build up others as God has called us to, if you want to really love people, and I don't mean like just feel good things for them, you really want to love them, you got to learn how to talk to people in a way that's loving. Talk to people in a way that's encouraging, forgiving, gracious, and kind. Didn't Haven do a great job reading Proverbs? Thanks for doing that, Haven. Good job. Really. The Bible says in Proverbs, the wise in heart are called discerning, and gracious words, forgiving words, beautiful words, so grace, huh? Promote instruction. Prudence is a fountain of life to the prudent, but folly brings punishment to fools. Remember in Proverbs, the fool is almost always a reflection of a person, of the way that they talk in foolish ways. The heart of the wise make their mouths prudent, and their lips promote instruction. And then I just love this last part. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. As children, we internalize the words of our parents or parental figures or the people that raise us. This is why especially what you say to children, even children that are strangers, because as an adult they're going to look up to you, is so important. When a father tells a daughter she's beautiful, when a mother tells a son that he loves her, or vice versa, when parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents say affirming words, even after those parental figures or parents are gone, their love or contempt remains in the child's heart. So that if you neglect to say good things or you say negative things, that child will have a lot of work as an adult to overcome those pains and insecurities. Or when you to affirm your child, love your child, there's a lot of science to support this. Affirm them with words. There's an inner strength that they have, that a part of you remains inside the body of that child who's now an adult long after you die. That the internalized words remain there. And so what happens is you will find that with every adult you meet, There are certain burns that burn more than others. There are certain compliments that lift up more than others. And a big part of loving people that you love, especially people closest to you, is understanding what those are. In psychology, we understand pain not to be single events. I'm not a psychologist, but I understand this to be true, that pain is like a web, where it's if you touch one part of a painful thing in a person's life, the whole thing shakes. So you'll find that there are certain people who are really sensitive about some things and not about others. Don't judge people for this. Learn to work into them compliments or affirmations where they need it in this way. A lot of people need that. Final word, okay? 90% of what you say to people is tone, all right? Tone. Listen to me, guys. I learned this from my grandpa Persley, who is a linguist, Spanish teacher for a long time. When a baby is learning a language, the first thing they learn is not words, but tone. That's why goo goo gaga in America sounds different than goo goo gaga in Thailand. Like when my grandpa was teaching me Spanish, he was teaching me the tone first. So, for example, he said that when you ask for salt in Spanish, if you say it with an English tone, pase la sal, por favor? Like, that's how you, can I have the salt, please? It sounds, he said, sounds feminine and weird, and it's just like, when you ask for salt, you say, pase la sal, por favor. You go down in the tone. So this is what he was teaching me in order to speak, so that the tone is the first thing you learn. And this doesn't go away. As an adult, the tone is so much more important, actually, believe it. If you're in a conflict, you're trying to be smoke on bees or work something out on a team, the tone is really important. A lot of people are thinking about, what am I going to say? And I always think, what do I want them to feel in my words? What do I want people to feel? Do I want them to hear in my tone compassion, understanding? I'm listening to you. I hear you. And this is such a great way, such a better way to communicate tone. Think about that. When you go to your girlfriend and you say, are you all right? And she's like, I'm fine. She is not fine. Okay? She's not fine. When you go to your husband, are you fine? I'm fine. He needs a cookie. He's hungry. All right. Okay. We all know. So, final words, just build people up, man. Just build people up. Build people up. Don't be known for the tell it like it is. Don't be that guy, that gal. Don't gossip. Don't lie. Don't say out loud bad things about other people, especially when they're not. Just build people up, and it will begin to guide your life. Compliment people. Encourage people. If you're inspired by someone, if someone does something that's impressive to you, tell them it's impressive. It's a great way to meet people. Say thank you when someone does something nice for you, even if they're supposed to say it. I know that I say that all the time. And also, friends, build yourself up. It's okay to look in the mirror and encourage yourself. You think I haven't done that before? You think I haven't been running up a hill thinking I'm going to die and just saying, this is your hill. Bobby, this is your hill. You can get up this hill. You think I haven't looked at a bill when we were broke and said, Bobby, you can find a way to pay this. You think I didn't look at a door of a children's hospital for the 50th time? There are times you have to look in the mirror and you have to say, you can do this. There are times when you have to say out loud, I am a good father. I am a good mother. I am a good friend. I am a good musician, leader, Christian. If you're running up the hill and you say, I'm tired, guess what you're going to feel? If you're looking at the hospital door and you say, I can't do this anymore, what are you going to feel? If you're looking at your bills and you say, I can't pay this. If you're looking at a friend you need to make amends with and you say, I can't do this, what are you going to feel? Say over yourself who you want to be. Say the words out loud of where you want to go, and that is exactly where you will get. It's okay to build yourself up. We all got to do it sometimes. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. And we pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would show us the kind of words that we need and can say to each other. And so, Lord, I pray that you put deep in our hearts a sense of love for each other and just grace, that we would go easy on one another. Help us, Father, to use the kind of words that you would use on us. Words like, I'm proud of you, and I'm thankful for you, I forgive you, I love you. We thank you, Lord. You love us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bedankt voor het luisteren naar de podcast van deze week. We hopen dat deze boodschap jou heeft bemoedigd. Wil je meer weten over Hour of Power of dagelijkse bemoedigingen ontvangen? Ga dan naar www.hourofpower.nl.